our Lord and Savior. Amen. Tonight we continue the sermon series, Dying to Live, the Baptized Life. The first sermon a couple weeks ago was entitled, A Matter of Death and Life. In that sermon, you learned that God uses holy baptism to kill our sinful nature and give us new life in Christ. You also learned that baptism is not merely a one-time act in the past. Instead, baptism is an ongoing reality in our lives. By the power of baptism, we die to sin and we live for Jesus every day as the Holy Spirit moves us to repent of our sin and trust in Christ for salvation, so that by His grace we might live the baptized life. Last Wednesday, you heard the second sermon in this series entitled, The Necessity of Nurture. We learned something a bit scary. We learned that it is possible for us to lose the life and salvation that God has given us in baptism. God will do everything He can to keep this from happening, but it can be lost. How is it lost? When we allow ourselves to be starved spiritually by avoiding God's Word, by neglecting the gifts He longs to give us. Therefore, we learned that the faith given to us in baptism needs to be nurtured. It needs to be nurtured by reading and hearing God's Word, by receiving His body and blood in the Lord's Supper, by spending time in prayer. In this way, we remain connected to Christ, by whose power we can live the baptized life. With that said, tonight you will hear the third sermon in our series entitled, The Daily Battle. Simply put, the baptized life is a daily battle. For example, at the beginning of Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul says, "Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase?" Well, Paul then answers his own question with these words, "By no means. You died to sin. How can you live in it any longer?" You see, these words teach us that the good news is not merely that our sins are forgiven. They are. But the gospel also says that we are new people. You are new creations in Christ. In your baptism, God gave you a new heart that despises sin and loves the Lord. Therefore, you believers do not use God's grace as an excuse to fulfill the desires of your sinful nature. Instead, God's grace moves you to say no to sin and yes to His will for your life. Paul writes about this in Titus chapter 2, where he says, "For the grace of God that appears to all men and brings salvation teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." So, Christ has made you a new person who turns from sin and obeys God's will. Were it only that simple. Tonight's reading from Galatians chapter 5 seems to contradict this. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul says the following to baptized Christians who believe. He says to them, "The sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want." In other words, as Christians, we want to turn from sin, we want to do God's will, but we don't always find ourselves doing that. I bet you can relate to this. Even though we Christians are new creations in Christ, the fact is, we do not always experience that reality in our daily lives. You know very well the evil desires in your own heart. You know very well the kind of thoughts that go through your head. You're well aware that your words and deeds are far short of the holy expectations that God has given us. You might begin to wonder, along with me, maybe I'm not a Christian. Maybe Jesus hasn't saved me. Maybe I'm going to hell. Have you ever felt that way? I'm sure you have. You know how it goes. One day you promise God that you're not going to indulge in a particular sinful desire ever. But then before you know it, you're right back in the middle of the same sin again. For example, maybe you're an older boy or a man who knows it's wrong to lust, and you've tried to eliminate such evil thoughts from your mind. But no matter how hard you try, lust still lingers in your heart. Maybe you've tried to stop gossiping about other people. You know God hates this sin, but you can't seem to go more than a few days without saying something negative about someone. Maybe you know that you ought to stand up for the truth around your peers at work or at school. But many times when you have a chance to witness, you choose instead to remain silent because you don't want the confrontation. Maybe you're a child who knows that God wants you to obey your parents and respect them. But just about every day, you challenge your parents' authority at least once in some way. Maybe you're a person who knows it's wrong to overeat. But Scripture says that gluttony is a sin right along with drunkenness. But no matter how hard you try, there are times when you give in and eat way more than you need to. I can personally relate to that problem. Maybe you know that God wants you to love and serve and forgive your wife or husband. But sometimes you choose to go to bed angry and hold a grudge. You know, if I wanted to, I could talk all night giving you examples of how we do things that we hate and fail to do the good that we ought to do. So maybe we're not Christians. Maybe we are going to hell. That's what the devil would like you to think. You see, if the devil can't trick you into being an arrogant sinner who takes advantage of God's grace, then the devil will trick you into being a despairing sinner who doubts that God's grace could ever exist for you. But my friends, I'm here tonight to tell you that the devil is a liar, and I'm also here tonight to tell you the gospel truth. And here it is. The baptized life is a daily battle. Now, what does that mean? Well, first of all, we need to understand something. Even though we are baptized, even though we are Christians, the fact is we are still sinners. Listen to what King David writes about himself and us in Psalm 51. He says, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." And this sinful nature remains in us even after baptism, even after we are brought to faith in Christ. And as sinners, we either resist God's will, or we obey His will, but we do it with evil motives. And that sinful nature is always with us. That's why in Romans chapter 7, Paul says the following about himself as a believer. He says, "I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature." So as Christians, we remain sinners. But I have good news for you. As Christians, you are not merely sinners. You are also saints. Why? Because Christ has saved you. You were born again in holy baptism, where you were joined to the death and resurrection of Christ. You now have a new nature that trusts God, that loves Him, and that longs to obey Him. Jesus has washed away the guilt of your sinful nature, and He has clothed you with His own holiness. Therefore, when God looks at you, He does not see all the wicked desires and deeds of your sinful nature. No, when God looks at you, He sees Jesus. In fact, Christ lives in you, and He will help you to live as His child. In fact, that's why you feel badly about the sin in your life. You see, being a Christian doesn't mean that you never ever sin. If you meet somebody who says they don't sin, then you know they're not a Christian. What does the Bible teach us? Is if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. No, being a Christian does not mean that you're perfect. However, being a Christian does mean that you are engaged in a daily battle. Being a Christian means that you grieve over the sin in your life. So, if you meet somebody who's totally comfortable with their sin, has no intention of trying to turn from it, then that person also is not a Christian. But according to the Bible, as Christians who are also sinners, we are constantly feeling bad about the sin in our life. Your new nature wants to do good, but your sinful nature still does its own thing as well. But the Holy Spirit keeps you trusting in Jesus. And because of Jesus, you are not under the condemnation of God's law. That's exactly why Paul writes these words in today's reading from Galatians 5. Let me read them again. Paul says, "Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. The sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law." My friends, Jesus has given you the victory. Your sins are forgiven. You are holy in God's sight. And God's grace will move you to say no to sin and yes to His will. But don't ever forget that you still have a sinful nature this side of heaven. And that's why the baptized life is a daily battle. You see, even if God's grace enables you to conquer certain evil behaviors in your life, the evil desires of your sinful nature will always be there. For example, you might be able to refrain from committing adultery and viewing pornography. You might be able to avoid doing all those things, but you will always have to struggle with lust. You might be able to stop gossiping, but you will still have evil thoughts about people going through your head. You know, you might be able to refrain from any number of sinful behaviors, but the evil desires of your sinful nature are going to be with you until the day you die. Therefore, the baptized life is a daily battle. But the good news is that in the midst of the battle, Christ has already given you the victory. And we need to remember that. You see, as Christians, our sin makes us feel wretched. We sometimes wonder how God could ever love us. But that's when we need to remember that God sent His Son for sinners like you and me. In the waters of holy baptism, we have been washed from the guilt of our sin, and we were clothed with Christ's own holiness. So even though the baptized life is a daily battle, you can live with the peace and the hope of knowing that in Christ you are always and only a saint in God's eyes, now and for eternity. In fact, that's how you need to understand Jesus' words at the end of our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 16. Take a look. At the end of our gospel, Jesus said, The Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory with His angels, and then He will reward each person according to what he has done. Now, if you take those words of Jesus out of context, they almost sound as though he's saying that our salvation is based on how well we live in this life. But that's not what he's saying. You see, salvation doesn't work that way. In fact, Jesus himself said that we can't give anything to God in exchange for salvation from sin, including our good lives. Jesus himself said, "What can a man give in exchange for his soul?" So then, what does Jesus mean when he says that his Father will reward each person according to what he has done? Well, simply put, Jesus is not talking about earning our salvation, which is clear that we can't do, or else he wouldn't have had to go to the cross. What Jesus is talking about is the difference between a life of unbelief and a life of faith. Unbelievers cling to their sin, and they'll trust in anything and everything except Jesus. However, those who live the baptized life confess their sin, and they trust in Jesus alone for salvation. So when Jesus is talking about God rewarding us according to what we have done, he's talking about the life of unbelief versus the life of faith in Jesus. Taking up our cross doesn't mean that we're doing enough good things to earn our salvation. Taking up our cross means that we turn from our sinful nature and cling to Jesus alone for salvation. And by his grace, we strive to live the baptized life. And then on the final day, God rewards us by grace. He rewards by grace those who have died and rose to new life with Christ in baptism. Now, with that understood, I would like to end tonight's sermon with Martin Luther's explanation of the significance of baptism for our daily lives. In Luther's Small Catechism, we read, "Baptism signifies that the sinful nature in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil lusts, and again a new person daily come forth and arise, who shall live before God in righteousness and purity forever." Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In a moment.